Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The request of the royal official was for Jesus to come down to Capernaum and heal his son. And Jesus refuses his request. He doesn't go down to Capernaum to heal the man's son. Jesus makes it very clear, in fact, that he is annoyed at the man's request. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The key word there is not signs and wonders, but the word see. This is what so upsets Jesus. And it's not just with this poor man who's come to beg Jesus to travel the 20 miles to Capernaum. It's with everyone in Galilee, his home country. As he said, a prophet has no honor in his own country. They all, it's plural in the Greek, they all want to see signs and wonders. And they will not believe unless they see them. It's extremely dangerous to think this way about God, to put sight over hearing, to demand to see things before you will believe his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things that are not seen. So Jesus doesn't allow anyone to see this miracle, least of all the Father, at least not until he gets home. And Capernaum is a good 2 days away from Cana. Instead, he makes the man's faith depend entirely on his word. It is only by Jesus' word that the man trusts that a miracle has happened. He doesn't see it when he trusts. And it is only by Jesus' word that he understands just how much Jesus has done for him and for his entire family. Now, faith is not against sight, not at all. Faith is based on fact. Christian faith is based on fact. Fact that was seen by faithful men and women, eyewitnesses, and then written down for our learning. The apostles saw the Lord Jesus' miracles. They saw him tortured and then dead on a cross. They saw the empty grave. They saw him risen from the dead. They saw the wounds in his side and in his hands. St. John says, "He who saw it has borne witness." And his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. St. Paul tells the Corinthians that the gospel that he preaches to them includes the good news that Peter, John, James, all the apostles, hundreds of disciples, and Paul himself saw Jesus raised from the dead. Faith is not against sight. How could it be when faith will end in sight? It will. The confession of Job is ours. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within." We will see. This is what we sing. "And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace." This is what we call the end of faith, the goal of faith. In that great hymn, "I know my faith is founded. And then at my departure, Lord, take me home to you, your riches to inherit, as all you said holds true. In life and death, Lord, keep me until your heaven I gain, where I, by your great mercy, the end of faith obtain." Where we will see, not dimly, but face to face, where we will know as we have been known. And not only will faith end in sight, but we get glimpses, we get sights even now of our Lord's great wonders in this world because of Christian faith. And this is again what we sing: "For in all things I see traces of his tender love for me in all things. Just look at the difference between how a Christian sees an unborn baby and how the world sees that same baby. We look and we see a child as it really is, God's gift, created in his image, made for eternity, a wonder of God's grace. They see a blob of tissue that can be dispensed with at will. And what they see is false and it is ugly. What we see is true and beautiful. It's what God sees. And look at our view of marriage and the world's view. They see it as a human contract that can be broken for any and no reason at all, a contract that can be between a man and a woman, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a man, and God knows what else they'll come up with next. But we see it as it really is, the lifelong union of a man with his wife in mutual love to bring up children for God and to reflect the beautiful union of Christ with his church. It is by faith that we see what is beautiful, even in this corrupted world. But we cannot base our faith on sight. That is, to put it exactly opposite of the way it should be. We see after we believe. And this was even true of the apostles. Yes, they saw the resurrected Jesus, but they didn't know what it meant until Jesus spoke to them, and they were prepared to see what they saw precisely because Jesus spoke to them. Jesus' rebuke of Thomas was not because Thomas wanted to see Jesus with his own eyes. That's a wonderful thing to want. It's a necessary thing. It's what we want for ourselves too, and what we will see in God's good time. No, Jesus reproaches Thomas because Thomas wanted to see before he would believe Jesus' word, the apostolic word. Blessed are they who have not seen yet believe. And so it is this beautiful lesson Jesus teaches this desperate father from Capernaum, and it is the lesson that he teaches us as we consider our gospel this morning. Jesus can seem callous when he tests Christian faith. He can seem callous even in our own lives as he tests our faith and gives us many trials. But Jesus tests faith to make it stronger. He does it because he loves us. He will not extinguish the smoking wick. This man, this royal official, has heard that Jesus heals the sick. It's the talk of Galilee, in fact. This is what St. John tells us in the preceding verse. Therefore, when Jesus came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him because they had seen all he did in Jerusalem at the feast. Jesus had performed miracles at the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem and had just come back from it. So note this, they welcome him because they've seen the wonders that he's done. But this man from Capernaum, he hasn't seen, he's heard. And when this man comes to Jesus after traveling some 20 miles or more, all the while praying his son doesn't die in the meantime, and praying he can reach Jesus in time, already having his faith tested by hours and hours of wondering whether Jesus will come back with him, the first words he hears are a rebuke from Jesus, a complaint that all around him want to see signs and wonders or they won't believe. The man asked Jesus to come down to Capernaum. He requested, in other words, to see it with his own eyes. And this is the opposite of the centurion's request, who tells Jesus, you'll remember this history, the centurion tells Jesus not to come to his house, that he's unworthy to have Jesus under his roof, that he has no need to see the miracle with his own eyes, but only that Jesus say the word, and that will be enough. And that's because the centurion knew what all Christians must know, and that is that it is characteristic of God Almighty to speak, and it happens. That's why we heard the creation account read from Genesis this morning. God created by the voice of his mouth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It is by his word that all things were made, not by a gradual process of evolution, by his word. This is how John begins his gospel, how he describes Jesus, the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And this is why we are told that this man comes to Jesus from Capernaum to Cana in Galilee, where Jesus had turned water into wine. Jesus is the God who speaks creation into being, the God who owns the elements of the world, who speaks to end death, to end sin, and to end sickness and disease. And it is this that Jesus wants this man and his boy and his whole household to know. This is why he tests his faith. The man receives a rebuke from Jesus. You want to see a miracle? You want me to travel down to Capernaum? You have to see before you will believe. And the man takes the rebuke. That's what faith does. It doesn't just run away from Jesus. It takes the rebuke. It says, Jesus, you're right. It's happy to be corrected by Jesus, by his word. So when God sends trial and pain and seeming rejection, faith holds still more firmly to his word and holds Jesus to his promises. And that's what the man does. The man appeals to Jesus' mercy. What is not made clear in our translation, but is so beautifully expressed in the Greek, is the urgency and the emotion of the man's response to Jesus. Lord, he says, not sir, but Lord, come down before my little boy dies. He changes the word for boy, for son. He appeals to Jesus as Lord, and then he calls his son, his little boy, his paideion. This is to say, yes, Lord. I believe, but help my unbelief. I can point only to your pity, to your mercy, to your love for my little boy. And Jesus still refuses to go down with the man. He refuses this part of his prayer. And this should teach us plenty about our prayers to God. Because it would be ridiculous to say that Jesus didn't answer the man's prayer. Of course he did. He saved his son from death. But he did it in his own way and in his own time and in a far better way than the man asked for. He answered the prayer by denying one of the requests. And this was for the father's good. It was for the boy's good. It was for the family's good. It was for the world's good. Because not only does he give the boy his bodily health, he makes the father's faith depend not on seeing things, but on the words of Jesus. He gives the man a faith, in other words, that can endure, that doesn't need to demand to see immediate results or complain if God doesn't give exactly what we demand. A faith that can say, thy will be done, and know that God wishes to do even more than we ask in his own time and in his own way and for our good. Go, your son lives, he says. And what's the result? The man sees. He does see, but only after he believes. Only after Jesus' word convinces him. And then the man preaches Jesus to his family. Tells them of his great power and of his great mercy. Teaches them that faith doesn't depend on sight, but sees after it believes. This is what faith that has been tested does. It overflows with love for Jesus. I believed, therefore I spoke, the psalmist says. So a love for children, a love for family, for our households, is not simply to care for their bodily health, but to care for their salvation. The love this father had for his little boy, the love that pushed him to run to Jesus to save his boy's life, burns with far greater tenacity and far greater urgency to run back now to his little child and teach him about Jesus. There is no greater task a man could have, no greater love for children could possibly be shown than we see in this Father. Not only to care for their bodies, but to give them Jesus, who created their bodies and has redeemed them with his precious blood. So fathers and mothers, make this your top priority. Raise your children for heaven, for Jesus. Pray for their health, but much more for their faith in Jesus. Talk about Jesus with them. Bring them to church as you have done. Read the Bible to them. Sing hymns with them, just as you would happily walk 20 miles to get them the medicine that would heal their bodies. Do the happy work of making your home a Christian home and giving your household the medicine that heals both body and soul forever. Now, you can't see this salvation. That's the issue. You can see money. You can see earthly success. You can see health, but you can't see salvation. Not yet. No, you see bread and wine, but Jesus' words say, "This is my body, this is my blood," and faith sees it for what it really is. And so we will see Jesus in the flesh on the last day. You see water poured on the head, but Jesus says, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," and faith sees children of God. A thing our eyes will see when the Lord Jesus calls us his co-heirs and puts us at his Father's right hand. And we see sin in ourselves, but Jesus says, "Peace I give to you. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven them." And faith sees in the wounded side of our Savior the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, until we look on those glorious scars in the land of the living. We see disease and we see death and corruption all around, but Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they will never perish, neither will anyone snatch them from my hands." And faith sees Christ, the life of all the living, Christ, the death of death, our foe. And the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they sneer and they say, "Where is your God? We can't see him." And faith points to the cross and says, "There he is. There's my Savior, who refused to respond to the taunts of those who told him to come down from the cross when the weight of my sin was upon him, who bore my guilt and my death because he so loves me to save me and to comfort me in all distress." So faith sees glory. It sees glory in the cross, and that includes our own crosses, the crosses that God puts on us, because we know in good time he will give us to see the glorious face of his Son, as all questions and doubts are answered at last. We don't seek to see signs and wonders, but we trust in Christ, and so we know the time will come when we will see them, both here on earth and forever in eternity. Faith comes by hearing, and the end of faith is sight. Long ago, Jesus spoke the words, "Go, your son lives." And the man heard these words confirmed by the servants who came to meet him and then saw them confirmed with his own eyes. That's a picture of Christian faith. So now Jesus speaks a better word to you. He lives. And because he lives, you will live also. And this word you hear confirmed by those who saw him risen from the dead. And you will see them confirmed with your own eyes on that glorious day. So come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. We stand.